It is a privilege to introduce a scary speaker tonight, let me tell you. But most of you know that my mom and dad are here, and I mentioned it Sunday morning, but my dad was asked by Pastor Don to bring the word. So, Brother Richard Peterson, would you come? And we welcome you. Come and bring the word tonight. It's a privilege.
Can I use that mic? Can I use that instead of this?
Sure. Let me turn that off.
Sound-wise, we're okay. All right. My, this is like speaking at a district council. I look at all the people, dear, dear friends, and I'd like to acknowledge you, but I fear that I'd overlook someone. So just say this, Shar and I are honored to be with you this evening. This is a very special service. I recall our being with you last July for a service. And I trust that, where is Pastor Don? I momentarily lost him. He's in the kitchen. Shar and I will have one more week with you, and I trust that Don will be speaking next Wednesday night. I've never heard him minister, so trust that Shar and I will have that opportunity. Dr. Harris, I'm going to try to be homiletical tonight, but please don't grade me, okay? I had the privilege of attending one of Dr. Harris's classes when Pastor Jeff was a student, and I really enjoyed that class, appreciated his leadership. There are several of you who have been very active in ministry as pastors, evangelists, taught at Evangel or CBC or some other school, and we thank God for every one of you. We truly do. Tonight, I want you for a few minutes to join me in looking at a victorious church. And I trust that we can duplicate this church today. If you'll prayerfully turn to the third chapter of the book of Revelation, we'll begin reading in verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, and we will begin at verse 7. If you brought your Bible or New Testament, write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true. He is the one who has the key of David. He opens doors and no one can shut them. He shuts doors and no one can open them. I know all the things you do, and I've opened a door for you that no one can shut. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan, those liars who say they're Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you've obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. Look, I come quickly. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they'll never have to leave it. I'll write my God's name on them, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and they will have my new name inscribed upon them. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you tonight for the ministry of your precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word, for the privilege to share your word for a few minutes. And Lord, we thank you for the example of this church in the book of Revelation, individually and collectively, men and women of faith, men and women who made a profound spiritual impact upon their generation. And we ask you tonight to enable each of us to enter any door that you might open today or in the future, Lord, as we submit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Were it my privilege to go back through the centuries and attend one of the churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, it would be this particular church, the church at Philadelphia. Furthermore, if I could only attend one service at that church, it would be the one referred to here. Why? Because I believe the people, according to Scripture, were highly commended for their ministry, for their willingness to be used of the Lord. And as a result, God blessed them in a wonderful way. And as you read about this church, you realize that God truly made them a victorious church in that day. And he has the same desire for us today. Now, your church has a very rich, rich history. When I think about Central Assembly of God, I go back a number of years in my life. I've been here as a member of the board at CBC for several commencement exercises. I thank God for your faithfulness through the years, your ministry, whether it was here at the church or otherwise, and now you are a part of this congregation. But as I share the word with you tonight for a few minutes, I believe God is challenging us, and particularly as seniors, to realize that he is still opening doors for us. We're not too old to bypass that door, but if he opens it, let's be obedient. Let's be submissive. Notice with me, if you will, four distinct assertions Jesus made concerning himself through the Apostle John. Number one, these things said he that is holy. In verse 7, he claims to be the Holy One, our Lord, our Savior, King of kings, and Lord of lords tonight, one in whom there is no blemish, no flaw, the Son of the living God, as we look at him here in Scripture. He makes the same claim here that he made in the Gospels. Which of you convinces me of sin? He confirms the declaration of Pilate. When, do you remember in that hour, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I can't find any fault in this one who stands before us. Being holy in character, you will notice that he's also true in conduct. For we go on reading, these things said he that is holy, he that is true. Our Lord tonight is perfect in who he is, but he's also perfect in what he does. Flawless perfection, the one that you love and serve, dear one, is our Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. Next, notice, if you will, with me, he has the words of him who has the key of David. The key of David speaks of kingly authority, doesn't it? Not merely a king, but the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one of whom the Scripture says has all authority, both in heaven and on earth. That's the one we love and serve tonight, dear one. He's the one of whom Peter, speaking in the power of the Spirit, said, God has made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. He is to all of us this evening. The one who has the right to exercise kingship and lordship over every one of our lives. Blessed be his name. Next, you will notice that he is not only king in position, but he exercises kingly powers. For verse 7 says, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. This tells me tonight that he has the right to rule, and he does rule. He hasn't forgotten about this world with all of its pain and sorrow and heartache in this hour, friends. He's still touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I thought as we prayed a few minutes ago, looking at that prayer list, lengthy like ours at home in Mesa, so many, many people to pray for. I called home and visited with my secretary earlier today, and she shared some more needs with me. And I thought, my, all of the seniors who are facing these various physical challenges. But oh, what a Lord and Savior and healer we serve. Amen? Amen. Secondly, notice with me tonight the commendation of this holy, true, and active King. The heart of it, I think, is contained in these words, behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Now, what this implies is that Jesus opened a door, a very unique door, for this particular congregation, and how thankful we are he's still opening doors today. And I'm certain in this hour there are many, many ministries taking place at Central Assembly of God, and there will continue to be. And yet at the same time, let me encourage you and challenge you tonight. As God opens doors, dear one, please enter that door that he opens for you and find that unique place of ministry. There's always an opportunity regardless of our age. I believe as you read missionary reports that the Lord is opening some additional doors in various countries that were closed to the gospel 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. And we rejoice in those reports. They're exciting, friends. And as we prayed for missionaries tonight, the needs are still so great, aren't they? So keep praying and believing with them. But bear in mind, while it's the work of Christ to open the door, to present the open door, pardon me, to us, it's not his responsibility to enter that open door. That's yours. That's mine. Very clearly taught here in Scripture. He will not enter doors that we should enter. He will not force us to enter any door of ministry. He will not in any way try to persuade you that this is the door and you must enter it. You know, cattle can be herded and driven, but not human hearts. And when we're open, dear one, to the will and the purpose of God, that door is going to be truly entered by you, and God's going to abundantly bless you. The members of the Philadelphia church, as I move on tonight, pass through that open door because they possess some very, very important qualities of character. And I'd like you to look at them with me. Truly, when you look at this, it's an explanation for the spiritual impact they made on their generation. First of all, you've kept my word, and you have not denied my name. They were very aware of the importance of the word, but above all, the importance of honoring the Christ of the word, the Lord of the word, friends. As you look at this, it says, for you have not denied my name. I believe that truly in that particular congregation, there was an opportunity and a sense of the power of God day after day and the desire to honor the Lord in all of their ministry, all of their endeavors, that he might be honored. So beautifully expressed here. The second reason given for their success is shared with us in these words: you have entered that door because you have a little strength. In verse 8, this is really saying you're rather weak, isn't it? You're rather weak. And yet this particular church entered that door in its weakness. Now, this might sound strange, and yet it is reasonable. It isn't difficult for us to comprehend because they had their limitations like you and I do today, dear one. But they entered that particular door, realizing that they, in their weakness, were to remain obedient to the Lord, and he would bless their lives, bless their ministry, friends. Have you ever noticed that someone who desires to know will be on a quest of knowledge? They'll continue to pursue knowledge. And as you look at this particular congregation, I believe as they saw the door opening, they began to enter it, and God abundantly blessed them. Paul realized this same truth when he said, when I'm weak, in reality I'm strong. When I realize it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, then I recognize that I can move in him, have my being in him, minister in his presence and his power. What a message for all of us. So when this church was weak, yet it was strong. And Paul was very keenly aware, friends, of that particular truth as mentioned in the word. There are times when perhaps we go through a spiritual drought in the ministry, and we're not as productive as we might have been in the past. And yet, there is that reminder that I'm still opening doors for you, dear one. I'm still opening doors for you. So remain submissive. Remain obedient to the call of the Spirit and to my word. Now notice with me some rich promises that Christ made to this church in Philadelphia, verses 9 through 12. And as you look at them, all of these promises are in some measure fulfilled in the here and now. You see them taking place today as you and I faithfully serve the Lord. One thing is for certain, you enter an open door, and often the Lord will open it a little wider than you anticipated. And suddenly you get excited about the spiritual potential that is yours as a Sunday school teacher, for example, as a soul winner, as an usher, etc., here in the church. First of all, notice those who entered the open door found a growing likeness to Christ. Verse 12. I'm going to verse 12 and then bear with me. We'll come back to verse 9. Those entering that door found a growing likeness to Jesus. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and I will write upon him my new name. A name, of course, speaks of character, doesn't it? As you look at this, to have written upon you and me the name of Christ is to share in his likeness. Do you remember in the book of Acts when the Sanhedrin looked at Peter and John? The scripture says they took note of the fact that they had been with Jesus. And there was a family resemblance that was so easy to see. Truly. Then there shall be upon us the name of the city of God, the New Jerusalem. There's a particular city in the northeastern part of the United States whose, now this, when I say those of that city, I'm speaking of those who are natives of that city. When you hear them speak, they have a very unique dialect. If they worshiped with us tonight and greeted you in fellowship after this service, you would quickly know that they were not from Springfield, Missouri. I visited in that large city, and so have most of you. And friends, the dialect is very easy to pick up. The first time I visited that city, I wasn't paying as much attention as I should have as I was going to cross the street with the pastor and his wife. The pastor who married us, incidentally, was pastoring in the area. And I very quickly was told by this policeman in his own unique dialect, "Step back on the coib, buddy, back on the coib." Yes. "There shall be upon us the name of the city of God, the New Jerusalem." Paul says we're of the colony of God. We're citizens of heaven tonight. And with that in mind, even our speech should betray us, shouldn't it? Truly. Also notice, number two, he promises to these who are faithful in entering that open door his keeping power. Verse 11, "Because you've kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you." You and I all know of the keeping power of Christ through the years. And yet, friends, we don't want to become unbalanced in our theology. He keeps us as we desire to be kept. Truly, he keeps us as you and I reach out to him to be kept in his will and his purpose for our lives. You know, electricity must serve certain laws. If you don't obey those laws, you can get into trouble working with electricity. The laws of the kingdom are far more important tonight. And may it be our desire to obey those laws, as I believe this church did. This blesses me. No wonder Peter broke forth into just a shout in his book, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, this doesn't mean that you and I will not pass through some tests and trials, experience some conflicts. Sometimes he allows us to be exempt from that particular circumstance. Other times he walks with us through that particular circumstance. But he is faithful. Praise his name. I notice a third promise here. He promises a growing usefulness in verse 12. Promises to make of the one who overcomes a pillar in the temple of God. A pillar speaks of steadfastness, consistency. That one who is there day after day in ministry, in walk with God. Every one of us fills a place within the body of Christ, friends, for we are church builders. And if we do not fill that place, it remains empty. Sobering thought, isn't it? But notice here, him that overcomes will I make a pillar. Now, the focus is on a pillar, not a pillow. There are some that wouldn't mind having pillows, I'm sure, distributed periodically, where you could sleep through a sermon or a Bible study. But that's not the thought here, is it? Not at all. A pillar in the temple of God. A pillar supports something. It holds something up. When you and I look at churches, there are always two classes of people in every church. It doesn't make a difference what size. Those who lift and those who lean. Those who faithfully support and encourage and bless not only one another age-wise, but the younger generations as well. Yes. And then those who lean. And if you allow them to lean, they'll continue to lean on you. Often until the very last day of your ministry in that church, they're still leaning. Have you been there? I have, yes. But as you look at this, I believe the very heart of the meaning of this promise is, him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out. A pillar continually reminds us of stability over the months and years, friends, truly. Finally, a pillar is an ornament. A pillar is a beautiful picture of strength and beauty. Undoubtedly, the congregation referred to here, the church at Philadelphia, were very familiar with Grecian architecture, the beautiful pillars on various buildings and homes included. And as a result, I think that they recognized this illustration, a pillar in the temple of God. And as you and I look at a pillar tonight, we are reminded, as I mentioned, of consistency, faithfulness, steadfastness, truly. But there's no beauty like the beauty of holiness, without which no man, no woman shall see God. Fourthly, verse 9, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and do not. But they lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and do you reverence and know that I have loved you. How is this remarkable verse going to take place? It's a very unique verse, isn't it? But I believe that these who had opposed the ministry of this particular church suddenly realized that these were people of faith and courage, people who walked with their God, and as a result, many of them desired to know their Lord, and in time came to a saving knowledge of their Lord. And this is a wonderful promise. Happy is the church, the individual friends who recognizes that God, regardless of age, is still opening doors today. What a privilege for us tonight, as I close, to realize in this hour there is still a call of the Spirit. And you might be 50 years of age, you might be 80, 90 years of age. He is still calling and using people. Shar and I had the privilege of joining several friends who were neighbors of ours at Lake Williamson in Illinois when I was in the district office with Jim Hall. And we had just a delightful time of fellowship over lunch today. And I marveled when Mrs. Clark told me that she is 94 years of age. And I thought, she is still faithful. She's still desirous of honoring you, Lord. And her husband had a profound impact upon my life. He and Brother Richard Dortch, I thank God for both of them. But I believe, in closing, this Philadelphia church is a beautiful example to all of us tonight. An example, friends, of steadfastness, an example of courage. It speaks to us concerning our very ministry, not only to one another, but the younger generations who now are beginning to accept positions of leadership in your church. Encourage them. Pray for them. Let them know that you are spiritually supporting them in every way you can, friends. We've served in our day, but yet I believe there's still more ministry to take place, more doors to enter at our age. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for the call of your Spirit. We praise you tonight for your faithfulness through the years. Thank you for every ministry that's represented among each individual here tonight. As I look across this congregation on a Wednesday night, I see lives that have truly been blessed of you, ministries that have been exercised for your honor and glory through many years for some, a few years for others. But we're aware, Lord, of the open door, and may the example of the Philadelphia Church ever challenge us to remain faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You've still got it. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Dad. That was a good word. Amen. As we close, can I just say thank you for being pillars? Some of you are beautiful pillars. Spud, I'm not sure, but some of you, you're just beautiful pillars. Oh, Julie, oh, look at that. No, you're beautiful, Spud, you're beautiful. But I was sitting on the front row just thinking. I think about you, Lee Schultz. I think about you, Joe Nicholson. I just think about the Parsleys and the Nelsons and look around. Sister Seitz, you're pillars. Thank you for being pillars. But you know what? I think pillars go in early, and then the building is built around it, right? Do you think they put it all in and then prop it up with pillars? I don't know Grecian architecture that well, but I bet you they have to build off the pillars, and things come along later and are added to it. Amen? Thank you for being pillars. Please remain pillars, and let's pray that this next generation will take central where it needs to go. Amen? All together. Amen. Dad, that was a great word. That was a good word. I might just use that Sunday morning. That was good. That was good. Amen. Well, he already closed in prayer. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, I do want to pray. You know, I have to do something in closing. I'd like to pray that all of you will see the door that God has for you today, though. That was a great, I love that thought. He is not done with any of you tonight. He's still, it'd be different doors. You walk through doors, some of you, decades ago. But what is the new door? Let's pray for that. Father, as we close and we leave out physical doors, I pray for everyone here, Lord, that they will have open hearts to what doors you might open today. Lord, even those that have led us for years and years and years, Lord, I pray that they would be sensitive to the doors that you open. And Father, I just thank you for the pillars of the faith that are here tonight. What a picture for us, Lord. May they continue to be faithful to you, Lord, in whatever you have for them. And Lord, we just give our church to you. May we be a church of brotherly love. May we be a church of Philadelphia. May we build one generation upon the other and be faithful, each one, to what you've called us to, we pray. But thank you for these that we are privileged to build upon, Lord, that help support us. Just thank you for them, God. May we go now and strive to be the church you want us to be. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. It's good to have you tonight. Go in God's grace. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Breakfast at 8:30 tomorrow morning.